Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. When two people consider marriage, they're often in a fog of being in love. Faults in the other party are overlooked. It's only after the rice is thrown that reality sets in. Today, more myth-busting about marriage and how to make it work God's way. Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues a 10-part series on fighting for your family. Listen now as Dr. Lutzer comes again to speak on what marriage is and isn't.
Now, I'm not saying you have to be perfect before you get married, or else you know what the conclusion to that is. None of us would be married today. But I also have to tell you that the courting period is one of the most deceptive periods of time that you will ever go through on both sides of the ledger. Because everybody is at his best, and oh yeah, I really do enjoy football, because you enjoy football. Yeah, I really do. That's why getting married is something like getting a phone call in the middle of the night. First of all, you get a ring, and then you wake up, okay? And you discover that there's a lot more. The baggage car arrives after marriage and not before. And unless you take care of some of those ghosts, it'll haunt you. All right, the first thing is to leave. If you're not willing to leave, then don't get married. Cleave. Cleave to your wife. I'm thinking of Velcro at this point. Cleave to your wife. In other words, what you are saying is, in all the world, I am honoring and committed to you. Or, alternately, the wife says, I am committed and honoring you. Think of all the problems that would be taken care of if we simply left and cleft. I know that there isn't a word like cleft, but we're in a good mood today. We can make up some words as we go along. The cleaving part means that trust is now being built, to quote the words of Dan Allender again, through many acts of faithfulness. No marriage can ever be happy without trust. It is central to the marriage. In fact, Allender says, a marriage without trust is an empty well. It promises satisfaction, but it never delivers. You must be able to safely trust in your mate. And once that trust is lost, it has to be regained, often over a period of time. Again, Dan Allender says, trust is earned over a lifetime, as I mentioned, through small moments of faithfulness. You also learn patience. You learn to accept one another. You know, all those differences that you intend to see. Listen, the person that you marry is the same person that you will live with before he was married. Going down the aisle doesn't change anybody. Ladies, especially, you need to know this. He's an addict before you marry him. He's an addict after you marry him. You know, we may smile at the woman who says that on her wedding day, she thinks of three things. She thinks of the aisle, walking down the aisle. She thinks of the altar. And then, of course, she thinks of him. But actually, it's I'll alter him. Lady, let me look into your eyes. Can you see mine from where you're seated? You won't. You won't. And as a result of that, of course, people have to learn to accept their differences. And you have to begin to say, and you see, that's where God births patience in our hearts. That's where God begins to birth sanctification. Because here you have somebody who's very different from you. And the things that attracted you that you thought were so cute, you can't stand now. Cleave to your wife. Endure. And you'll get huge payback. You really will. And I'll give you some examples of that in just a moment. Well, the next thing I want to speak about, which isn't in the text but clearly implied here and elsewhere in Scripture, is the covenant. You know, people say, well, why should I have a covenant? Why this oath? You know, leaving all others, cleave only for yourself, to yourself, to yourselves, however that is. I was at a wedding here yesterday. It was nice to be at a wedding that I wasn't officiating at, just to see how other people do it. But, you know, the vows are essentially the same, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, till death do us part. By the way, the next message in this series is on money, so I've entitled it, Till Debt Do Us Part. So you be sure to be here for that. But the point is that what's a piece of paper anyway? Let's just live together. Oh, really? A number of years ago, my wife and I bought a house. We are reputable people. We bought it from reputable people. Why do we even sign anything? Why don't we just shake hands and say, okay, we'll pay you this much, and you give us the title, and we sign it over? Because what's a piece of paper anyway? Well, that's not the way it was. We had an attorney. They had an attorney. We spent about an hour signing documents that we could scarcely understand, but we signed them anyway. Why? Because everybody knows that after you've made the deal, you might have buyer's remorse. And you might say to yourself, I didn't know that the roof leaks. I didn't know that there are termites in the attic. I didn't know that the windows don't close properly and we're going to get new windows. Furthermore, you drive down the street and two blocks away there's this house that you always admired, but you never bought it, and now suddenly there's a for sale sign on it. And you say to yourself, oh, now what do I do? Well, you know, life is tough. You sign the documents. And what you're going to have to do is to fix the roof, and you're going to have to take care of the termites, and you might have to get new windows. But in the process, God is going to develop you. And furthermore, you know that house down the street that you liked so much? Please be advised that actually you didn't know that, did you? But that house has a basement that is going to collapse within 6 months. You're lucky, if I might use that word, you're lucky you didn't buy that other house. But you don't know that, so you fantasize as to what it would have been if only you had someone better, and now you have buyer's remorse, and you don't know where to go with it. You know, of course, it is true that that fantasy may only be a fantasy. You remember years ago I told you a story about a man who was walking through a psych ward, and he got to the first room, and there was a man banging his head against a padded cell. And he said to the manager, what's his problem? And he said, well, he was madly in love with Matilda. And Matilda jilted him, and he can't handle it. So all day long, he just bangs his head against the wall. Matilda, how could you do it? Matilda, how could you do it? When they got to the end of the aisle, they noticed that there was another man in a padded cell banging his head against the wall saying, Matilda, how could you do it? Matilda, how could you do it? The guy said, what's his problem? He said, well, he's the one who married Matilda. The minute your fantasies begin to think about what could have been, you're on very, very dangerous ground. So now there's this couple who says, well, we don't need that piece of paper. Mixed messages are being sent. On the one hand, I love you so much, I want to be with you. On the other hand, another message is being sent, namely, but I want to keep an escape hatch. I want to make sure that I can get out of this with a lot of trouble just in case you and I can't work it out. Now let's go on to the next thing that the Bible mentions, and the implications of that reasoning will be even more clear. He says, leave father and mother, be joined together, and they shall become one flesh. Now we come to a very, very mysterious teaching in the Bible. And I don't have time to go into it except to say that the one flesh relationship is to mirror God. In fact, Paul says in the book of Ephesians that men are to love their wives as Christ loved the church. The marriage is to mirror God, mirror Jesus Christ's relationship to the church. And it's not as if the Apostle Paul thought, I need an illustration for loving Christ and Christ's relationship to the church. Let me use marriage. The intention of marriage is to mirror God. And the oneness that comes through intimacy, through sexual intimacy, is not just a physical, biological experience. It is really a metaphysical experience. In fact, the Apostle Paul says that even if you have a relationship with a prostitute where there is no commitment, no love, nothing, just raw lust, he says, you're already one body. Wow. The implications of that, which I preached on in previous times, are huge. It's the most important verse in all the Bible. It teaches you more about sexuality than all the books on the shelves of our bookstores right there. God says you become one flesh, body, soul, and spirit. But if you do it without a covenant, if you do it without commitment, you are really involved in a one-flesh relationship, but you aren't married. And furthermore, it is an unholy relationship. The only holy relationship is the relationship that you have by the protection of the covenant.
Well, my friend, this is Pastor Lutzer, and obviously this message touches a raw nerve in today's society. Do you understand now why it is that so many of our young people are actually ruining the possibility of living happily ever after? Because they are promiscuous, where you have all of that bonding that takes place and the breaking of those bonds, those metaphysical spiritual bonds, the implications are huge. Of course, we're grateful for the grace of God. And through the forgiveness of God and through the work of God and the miracle of God, bad marriages, even those that were begun badly, can be made good. That's why I preach this series of messages. It's not only to analyze what our problems are, but it is also to give people hope. So frequently I meet people who say, you know, I married the wrong one. Well, now that you're married, he or she is the right one. And God says, I'm going to meet you exactly where you are. And he displays his grace and displays his power. Now, what we've done is we are making available this entire series, which is titled Fighting for Your Family. We're making it available in video format along with a discussion guide. Because I want you to take the time to listen to it, to interact, to answer some of the questions that the discussion guide will have, and to finally come to terms with issues between you as a husband and wife and children that perhaps you've been ignoring. I trust that you'll take advantage of this because my faith is great enough to believe that God can do a miracle in your life. And now you stay tuned for a very important message.
Thank you, Pastor Lutzer. We're hearing What Marriage Is and Isn't, another message on fighting for your family. Next time, why there's no place for buyer's remorse when it comes to marriage. Running to Win is all about helping you find God's roadmap for your race of life. Fighting for Your Family is a video series with a discussion guide for small groups. The DVDs and the guide will be sent as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Ask about Fighting for Your Family. Online, go to offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.